Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? Sounds like a whisper. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? Sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare line.
Freedom Bound, a decade of radio without barriers.
Armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds.
Welcome to another edition of Freedom Bound. With me today, I have my friend Tony, and myself's David.
G'day. And today on the show, we've got a bit of a radio play that was done by the International Dramatic Arts Studio, where it was a recording done by two blind people, a guy with CP and two quadriplegics, two of those guys being similar names to us, Dave and Tony.
Yeah, that's right.
They almost sound familiar.
And it was recorded about a month ago, and we'll be playing to you for you that shortly. And also we've got some more music from the band Wanjina, who are actually going up to Brisbane in about a week. But let's start with the radio play. Welcome to tonight's International Dramatic Arts Studio radio drama, presented by the Fruit Loop Troupe. Tonight's play takes us into the seedy underworld of beautiful women, tough detectives, and shady police. This is Sam Marlowe and the case of the missing Scotch.
I woke up in an alley. Neon light played a tattoo on the thundering headache that Zelda's thugs, Tiny Jones and Nice McCurk, had beaten into my trench coated body. Fortunately, they hadn't broken my emergency hip flask, so I said good morning to the scalding warmth of Jack Daniels as I gulped it down my bruised throat. So my alimony payments were overdue again, and my ex-wife Zelda.
No excuses, Sam.
Wasn't taking any excuses. Not this month, anyway.
No excuses, Sam.
Everything ached, even my brown fedora hat. I was crawling around in the trash looking for a pawn ticket when I heard a goddess approaching.
Yes, you. Are you Marlowe? Sam Marlowe?
Yeah, doll. At your service.
Your secretary said I might find you here under the fire escape.
I got to my feet and looked into her smoky brown eyes. She was built like a 65 Cadillac with all the chrome and rounded bits in just the right places.
I need you, Sam.
She tossed me a lazy smile and put her heavily bejeweled hand on my arm. My engine went into overdrive. And I said, I need a coffee, baby. It's gonna be a long, long night. Minutes later, we were hunched over steaming coffee cups in a nearby cheap cafe. She told me her story. Seems like I've heard it before from 100 different dames looking for 100 different husbands.
It's my Roger, Sam. He's missing.
She sobbed silkily into a dainty tissue plucked from between her magnificent bosoms. How long has he been missing? I asked.
6 years.
6 years. Now you start looking. I was starting in on my third coffee. My ribs hurt. Eyes felt like sandpaper. I needed a shot of rock gut. And I still couldn't find that pawn ticket. But I was back to normal.
Been concentrating on my career, Sam. Surely you've heard of me. Ecstasy Smith, the singing sensation. But I've missed him, Sam. I really have.
She slipped me a photo of her ex from between her magnificent bosom. I fanned the steam off it, but before I could take a look, there was a familiar voice in my ear.
I'll take that, Marlowe.
I didn't have to look. It was one of those thugs from the alley. Tiny Jones, ex-wrestler and dimwit.
That white Marlowe, that's heavy.
This time, surprise was on my side. As I drilled lefts and rights into Tiny's massive chin and dealt the same to McCurk before he could get to the knives in his pockets.
Oh, Sam! You're so virile.
Just then, my two-way wrist radio rang. Yes, I know, every time Dick and Harry's got 'em. It was Paula, my girl Friday, and sometimes Saturday.
Morning, Sam. I've got Police Chief Iris Upwood on the line for you. But, Sam...
Yeah, baby?
When you gonna pay me, Sam? It's been 2 months, Sam.
Don't take this case, Marlowe. That's an order.
I turned to ecstasy and took a quick slug of my energy Jack Daniels. Ecstasy, honey, I told her. I've got a lead on your case, but I'll need a little something in advance.
Sure, honey, I understand.
She purred up to my face and kissed me like a velvet vacuum cleaner. After my breath and sigh return, I gasped. No, honey. Money. I mean $100 a day, plus expenses, though. Again, her hand dived in between her magnificent bosoms to reveal a little Ardent purse. Alarm bells rang in my head. Zelda always wore Ardent. My wrist radio jangled again.
Marlowe, you there, Marlowe? Don't take this case, Marlowe, and that's an order.
The wrist radio went dead. Roger, over and out, I said. She was in my face again, promising everything.
Sam, baby, I'll read your palm. I'll cook you banana custard. I'll do anything, Sam.
Chocolate crackles?
Oh, yes, Sam. Sam.
Tiny Jones began to stir at my feet, so I took a quick jog in his fired. Crumpet?
Yeah, muffins and cherry jam if you really want it. Oh, Sam. 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 Oh, Sam. Sam. Sam.
I pocketed the carefully folded and steam-pressed $300 from her purse and slipped it in next to the Jack Daniels in case of a real emergency. The wrist radio jangled again. Paula, baby, I began into the wrist radio.
Shut up, Marlowe. Nose. You remember me, Marlowe? The guy you said to Sing Sing?
Yeah, Nolan, you crime boss scumbag. If you harm one hair of my Paula's... Before I could get any further, there was an evil chuckle at Nell's end.
She's coming with me, Marlowe. You can't keep that nose of your coin. Don't take the case and turn away from our fancy nightclubs if you want to stay healthy.
He rang off. Ecstasy was hard up against me again as the wrist radio went dead. Her perfume was delicious and the tom-toms in my head was nothing compared to the pearl handle 32 she shoved into my trench coat of ribs. She looked tough. I like that in a dame, sentimental old P.I. that I am. So I took the gun off her and shoved it in next to the Jack Daniels, the picture of Roger, the Ireland purse, and Viola, the pawn ticket. I kissed her lightly on the lips. Only Monroe had a mouth like that. Baby, I said, let's go rat catching.
You have been listening to part one of Sam Marlowe, brought to you by the International Dramatic Arts Studio. Well, and now a word from our sponsor.
Are you tired of groping around the house? Want to have some fun? Get out and meet people and win an Oscar for a brilliant acting performance? Don't delay a moment longer. Pick up the phone right now and call 713-4497. That's right, 713-4497. Hollywood Dave Smythe is standing by to take your call.
That was Case of the Missing Scotch.
Part one.
Part one. That was recorded totally live, I might just say, from, as I said before, two quadriplegics, two blind people, and one guy with CP out at Des Moines, the International Dramatic Arts Studio. We'll play part two the next time we're on, so which will be the beginning of next month, not 2 weeks away, but 4 weeks away on the Wednesday. Yeah, there was a bit of a pause, sort of delay here and there, but that was because there was the sound man was deaf and the lighting man was blind.
Yeah, that's right. No, we're just kidding. No, it was certainly an exciting way to do it, sort of live and just sort of it's all happening at once and things are going on. Speaking of live and things happening at once, the band that myself and a few other guys with disabilities are involved with are going up to Brisbane next Thursday to play at a conference call for Access Arts.
You might remember the song that we played a few weeks ago. What was the name of that song?
It was called Central Station.
That was a song that this band has done there. Can you just explain again who's in the band?
Who's in the band? Well,
what disabilities are?
Well, there's a guy who plays the didgeridoo. He's a C6 quadriplegic. His name's Grant Nickel. There's Arnie Hanna, who plays mean electric guitar. Myself, I play synthesizers and do a bit of singing. And we've got a couple of able bods that help us out and play as well. We've got Les Holcrum, he plays sampling, keyboard and guitar, and a new guy, Marc Biaison, I think that's how I pronounce it. He plays bass, he's just sort of come in. And that's the point, you know, these guys are great musicians, but you also need able bods to help you around, to plug things in and move things.
So what's the story up at Brisbane?
It's a conference up there, an arts conference, and all the groups from around Australia.
Disabilities.
Disability groups, and we're going to try to get a nationwide policy on arts in the field of disability. And it's a three-day conference, and they've invited the band up, Juan Jinnah, to go up and play there. And here's actually a song.
What's this song called, Dave?
This song is called Archipelago. We recorded it about a month ago. Here it goes. Thank you.
That was Archipelago by Wonjina. Not a bad little song there, Dave. You can sleep in that 20 afterwards.
Okay, shall I leave it on the fridge?
Leave it on the fridge, mate. Yeah, fine. I've got a little message now for any cricket fans out there, as in disabled cricket fans. I don't know if any of you have been out there to the Barongal stand and sat in there. And as you know, the seating arrangement there is you sit in the thoroughfare and... The bummer is that if you go with anyone, they either sit in front of you down in the grandstand or up behind you, which means that you're out of earshot from the people you're with. So you're stuck out alone and watching a game of cricket. So I just might mention the fact that on next Thursday I'm going to meet someone at the SCG, Noel Neaty, who is part of the Cricket Trust, and hopefully with an architect about getting some changes done in the Barongal stand so that there will be seating arrangement for the able-bodied and disabled sort of right next to each other. So
I was thinking maybe we could use you as some stumps, get your chair out there and you know, you'd be able to see the game quite well.
Well, I could be the umpire maybe in a wheelchair.
I like it. Yeah, it's, you know, it's still part of the process of getting involved within your community. You know, there's a few organisations that can, you know, people think, well, they can do the work. Peak organisations like AQA or the Spastic Centre or the
Paracord,
all those sort of organisations. But it's really depends on
it's about the individual as well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you know, those people can't do all the work. You've got to get in there and write letters and become involved, like Tony's done with this cricket situation. But, you know, that's easy for us to say, but how do you actually go out there and get involved? The only two options are you get someone to take you, a friend to take, or you use the taxi system.
Mm.
Though it's getting a lot better, it still does cost a lot of money. Tony, you were mentioning something about to me before about public transport. What was that?
Yeah, well, we spoke before, and we don't know about you people listening out there, but the problem really is the lack of public transport for disabled. I'm talking buses and trains, and I'd like to start something rolling, you know, get something going in the way of trying to get at least some public bus services, making them accessible. I know in some places like in New York, where the steps on the buses turn into a hoist so that they're all accessible. I don't know why that surely that something like that can't happen here, so that people in wheelchairs can stop at a bus stop and get on the bus. I mean,
yeah, that's right. It's like getting involved also with work. You know, if you want to go and work today, it might cost you $20 a day in taxi fares. But you know, if you go on a bus, and that's the thing that'll make involvement in the community, integration, a real
integration. And I mean, even if you don't take the bus, at least that option is there. Whether you decide to take taxi or bus, I mean, everybody else has the options of either catching a train, bus. Mm. Or a taxi, whichever they prefer. But being in a wheelchair, if you don't have a car, your only option is the 0200.
I know there's moves in Melbourne for their buses to happen. And also you said something about our friend Nick said something, Nick Greiner.
Got me on there, that
didn't
one.
Say it. Oh, well, I wish he would. I wish he would.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the person we've got to approach. But... I don't know, if anybody out there listening has got any ideas or they're thinking on the same level, I mean, it's about time we got started with something and we might leave a number.
Yeah,
so that if someone out there is wants to share our views and we want to get something going with some sort of public transport, bus services, and then hopefully even along the lines of trains, making more train stations accessible, whether or not that's possible or not. But we've got to start from somewhere. So
yeah, and that's the point. Like this show, I hope it's going into your ears.
Yeah, I hope it's reaching someone there.
And you know, we'd really like you people to come out and get involved with us as well. You know, because it's a great opportunity to have this
and voice an opinion. Is that
yeah?
So well, I might leave a number for you.
Well, let's give it to them now.
Okay,
we'll use yours this week, Tony.
Okay, well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can dial on 344-8783. Well done, David. Duo there. Yeah, and I'd really like to hear from anyone out there that that feels the same way or wants to get some changes, and perhaps we can all get together and get the ball rolling, so to speak.
Okay, let's have a song by, it's an old song by the Sweet Bird of Truth.
We'll be right back.
That was the, and that just about wraps up another show for this week. And remember, look, if you've got your opinion, come on, get out and let us know about it, because we'd really like to hear what's going on and what you'd like to say, and we could rave on them ourselves. We would like to hear some messages from you guys.
Yeah, and don't forget, in 2 weeks' time, Freedom Bound graces your radio again at 12:30 on a Wednesday. Okay, we're just going to go out with another the song, because I basically bought the tape last week. Okay, this is...
See you later.
Slow Train to Dawn.
Lighting it up, with every drag upon my cigarette.